Praise the Lord. We thank God for today. I'm actually very excited because every day the Lord seems to be taking us from one level of glory to another level of glory. Praise the Lord. We know very well that scripture in the book of Corinthians, it's talking specifically about the glory of the old covenant to the glory of the new covenant. When it talks about, as we behold the glory of the Lord, we are changed into the same glory, moving from glory to glory. So it's talking about, we are moving from the glory of the old covenant to the glory of the new covenant. And the new covenant now, it's not based on what we do. The new covenant is based on what Jesus Christ did for us. You and I, actually, if we speak technically now, you and I do not have a covenant with God. Technically, the covenant is between God and Jesus. Who cut the covenant? Was it you? No, it was God and Jesus. Then we are led into that covenant which is between God and Jesus. We are led into that covenant to partake of the benefits of the covenant without paying a price. I don't have to do anything to be saved. I just have to believe that Jesus Christ paid for my salvation, and then I receive that. And Romans 8, verse 32, it says then, if God did not withhold Christ, but he freely gave him to us, how can he withhold anything from us? And it says, he will then give us all these things freely. The same way that we received Christ is exactly the same way that we receive everything else from God. We receive those things freely. No works. Praise the Lord. I'm tempted to repeat what my wife was saying about the lampstand that was seen by the prophet Zechariah. The Bible says something there. It says, the human factor was completely taken out. Now the oil that was flowing directly from the trees into the lamp stand, into the bowl. And there was no human being that was involved. That is how God is trying to take us as his people. And my wife said it's a vision day, so let me stick with that. For now. Now, when it is a vision day, if you look at our vision statement, what does it say? It says it is to raise a body of believers that are a witness to what God has freely given to us through Christ. A witness. What is a witness? A witness is a person that was there to see the happening, the event taking place. So in other words, this is about us living a life that bears the fruit of receiving everything that God has freely given to us. This morning I was reading the scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. The Bible says, but of him you are in Christ Jesus. You are not on your own. You don't stand before God on your own. You stand before God in Christ Jesus. When God looks at you, he does not see the natural side of you. He sees Jesus. He sees the complete work of Christ. When Christ set you free, when he delivered you, he sees that complete work. But then he sees you seated with Christ on his right hand side. On his right hand side, he does not see you struggling. He sees you in authority. He sees you having power. That is how God sees you. That's the picture that God has of you. So the question is, what picture do you have of yourself? Because the picture you have will determine what you will have in your life. Zalwane, it's all about renewing our mind. Remember, the relationship with God is all about renewing our minds. Renewing our minds to what God sees in us, to how God sees us. It is not about performance. It is not about being better. It is not about pleasing God. But it is about renewing our minds to see ourselves the way that God sees us. And as we continue with this verse, it says, "But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God." He became righteousness. He became sanctification. What does sanctification mean? Sanctification means holiness. We are sanctified. We say we are sanctified. We have been made holy. Ooh, this word says Jesus Christ became what? Holiness for you. Amen. When God looks at you, he sees a sanctified person. He sees a holy person. Why? Because God does not look at your natural abilities. God sees you in Christ. Remember, our series is "We Are Complete in Christ." In Christ, you have wisdom. In Christ, you are righteous. In Christ, you are holy. In Christ, you are redeemed. You are not going to be redeemed. The only thing that will be redeemed, as we read in Ephesians chapter 1, is your body, when we will receive the new body. That's the only thing. But you, the spiritual you, you are redeemed already. Your redemption is complete. That is how God sees you. He does not see you anything less than that. So how you see yourself will determine whether you'll experience that. Hence, we spend time in the Word. In the Word. In the Word. We spend time in the Word over and over again. Because what are we trying to do? We are trying to take the Word of God to have it renew our minds. Because if our minds are renewed, then doubt will be out of our lives. We have the faith of Jesus Christ in us. Our problem is not faith. The problem is doubt, which is unbelief. That's the problem. So how do you deal with doubt? You go to the root. Where is doubt seated? This doubt is seated in your mind. So then go and change what is in your mind. When you change what is in your mind, then doubt and unbelief will leave. Don't pray for God to remove unbelief from you. Don't pray for God to remove doubt from you. Renew your mind. You will see what will happen. That is why we have to be about the Word all the time. Nothing else. The Word. We need to break it up like food. Study the word. When the devil comes and attacks you in your mind and he tries to bring condemnation to you, if you have studied the word, you will have the answer to give to the devil. Remember, your answers are not to impress people. Your answers are not to impress God. God has received you already complete in Christ. But when the enemy comes and he accuses you, because he's the accuser of the brethren, when he accuses you, he brings unbelief in your mind. He brings doubt in your mind. And because of doubt, you try to apply your faith, you don't see results. So study the word, spend time in the word, rejoice in the word, find the right music that you will listen to over and over and over that speaks the word. That is why it's not going to help us to find popular songs and we sing popular songs. If they are not rich in the word, we are not helping ourselves. Find the word in music as well. As you choose your music, find music that speaks the word. If you don't understand the songs that we sing, take that time and read the songs and get that word. Find the word. Get the word. What is the word saying about this? Because God is speaking to you through that song as well. I'm telling you, the song that we start with, there's something big coming out of it. And the first time I heard that song, I knew there's something big in that song. And I'm telling you, we have to get that song right. We have to understand, like my wife was reading this morning, John chapter 7, verses 37 and 38. It's talking about the Holy Spirit, the river of the Holy Spirit within us. That river. I'm telling you, we get that song right. We get to understand the Holy Spirit, the fact that we have the river of the Holy Spirit within us. I can tell you, life will be. The anointing is not in shouting. The anointing is not in works. The anointing is in the Holy Spirit. That move of the Holy Spirit comes into being. It manifests. When there is understanding, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, get wisdom and above all, get what? Understanding. So just spend time in the Word. Spend time in the Word, in who you are in Christ. In who you are. We don't want to preach anything else other than who we are in Christ. Because we know as we get who we are in Christ, I am telling you, Christ will manifest in our lives. We will be witnesses to the finished work of Jesus Christ. Let us not mix the word. Don't mix it. Don't try this and that. Try the word and something else. Try the word and something else. Try the word of the finished work of Christ and the law. Don't do that. Don't try that. Don't mix the two. The finished works of Christ is what we live on now. The works of the law were in place until Christ came. When Christ came, then we took over. And we started moving, following what he did for us. Because God knows nobody on this planet Earth can live up to his standards. Nobody. So God deals with us with grace and mercy. Even when you go to the old covenant, where there was the law, you realize that those who understood grace, it seemed as if God treated them differently. Think about David, for instance. David sinned. David took another man's wife. And he went over that and he killed the man. The Bible doesn't tell us anything about David going to the Lord and doing the sacrifices that the old covenant demanded. The Bible tells us about David going to God and asking for forgiveness. And that's it. This David did so many other bad things as well. But we find the Bible says, I found a man after my own heart. It's a man that understood the grace of God, even when he lived under the law. How much more you and I now that live under grace. Let us live then under that grace. And as we live under that grace, we will experience the mercy and the favor of the Lord over our lives. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. So we are saying, the series that we are busy with is, we are complete in Christ. We are not complete in what we do, but in Christ. And I'm stressing the word Christ here. I'm not talking about Jesus. I'm talking about Jesus Christ, the Messiah. So I'm trying to say, let us not look then at his life when he was still here on earth. Let us go to the full function that he came here to fulfill, which was to be what? A Messiah. So we are complete in the Messiah. And we are doing part 9 today. Now, I just want us to quickly go to our foundation scripture for this series. And then we'll proceed. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 to 7. The Bible says, as you, therefore, have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, being rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, not in the law, not in right doings, not in anything else, but in the faith. What is faith? Faith is about receiving what Jesus Christ did for us. So we are being rooted in what Jesus Christ did for us. And then it says, as you have been taught, and abounding in it, in the faith, with thanksgiving. And then verse 8 says, beware, lest anyone cheat you. How will people cheat us? They will come with philosophies. Philosophies of men. People will come with empty deceit. You know what is happening out there. People are being taught deception. And it says, cheated according to the tradition of men. People teaching traditions. This is how our ancestors did it. According to the basic principles of the world. Basic principles of the world. And you get that. Where people now are just teaching basic principles of the world. And they preach that as if it is the word of God. And they say, just live according to that. And then it says what? And not according to Christ. Not according to the Messiah. Not according to the finished work. So, we don't want people preaching to us and teaching us stuff that is not based on the finished work of Jesus Christ. Because then they will start cheating us. If they start telling us the basic principles of the world and say, follow these principles, we know that we are being cheated out of what is freely given to us. When they start telling us about the traditions of men, follow these traditions of men, they are cheating us out of what is freely given to us. Empty deceits and philosophies, all those things will steal from us. So don't allow anybody to come and tell you anything without putting it in line with the finished work of the Messiah. Praise be to God. And verse 9 it says, for in him, that is in Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily in Christ. And you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. You see, you are complete in the one who is the head of all principality and power. Amen. Pastor Lana, can you see the only thing we need is the revelation? That is all that we need. It's just the revelation of who we are in Christ. Hence, we spend time in the Word, renewing our minds. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, do not conform to this world. Don't live like this world. It says, but be ye transformed. How? By the renewal of your mind. We don't change our behaviors by keeping the laws. We change our lifestyles by renewing our minds, showing ourselves or teaching, allowing the Word of God to teach us who we are already. I am discovering who I am already. On Fridays, we have movie night with the family. So this Friday, we were looking at The Princess of Genovia. Eh? Princess Diaries. Okay, you see. This lady that lived not knowing that she actually was a princess. And then when she met her grandmother, who came now to tell her that you are actually a princess. And she said, no, I can't be. Look at me. Look at how clumsy I am. I am a nobody. I can't do anything. She said, no, you don't have to learn to be a princess. A princess is who you are already. You just have to discover who you are. Don't rely in your strength to do this thing of being a princess. You are a born princess. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's the same story with us. We don't have to try. We are in Christ. We are heirs, co-heirs with Him. We reign with Him. We just have to discover who we are. And we'll see our lives changing. Now, just a quick revision of what we covered in chapter 1 of the book of Ephesians. We saw that God has already blessed us, and our blessing is in the spiritual realm. God is not going to bless us. He has already blessed us. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. We are blessed already in the spiritual realm. We need to access that blessing. We saw that God loves us unconditionally. God's love for us is not based on what we do. We are holy and blameless before God in love because He loves us. Praise be to God. That's powerful. That's powerful. If you think of it, the Bible says in Christ, Christ was made what? Sanctification for us, holiness for us. So that verse tells us there in Ephesians now that we are holy and blameless before God in love. Holy, think about this. Holy and blameless. That's what you have to renew your mind to. Holy and blameless. Blameless. Woo! When God looks at me, He doesn't see my blemishes. I am blameless. I don't care what you say. It doesn't matter. Before God, it doesn't matter. Before God, I am blameless. Praise be to God. See yourself like that. And you'll see what it will do to you. The moment you see yourself like that, you'll see you'll start walking better than you did before. Because now it's no longer a striving. It is becoming who you are. It's not trying to attain that. I'm just becoming who I am. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit to guarantee our redemption. We will never lose our redemption. The Holy Spirit came as a seal, a stamp. And that word, we saw that in the Greek, it also means that it came to be like a stamp but as well as to, he came to preserve us. And you'll recall we spoke about what we do to preserve food. So what it means, our salvation, there is no way that we can lose it as long as we believe in Jesus Christ. We are vacuum pegged. So we will never lose our redemption. But remember, our salvation, redemption is in Christ. The day we refuse Christ, we reject Christ, then we will, obviously we will lose our redemption. Because our redemption only exists in Christ. Our redemption is not dependent on our actions. That's powerful. That is powerful. Think about that. Our salvation, our redemption is not dependent on our actions. I don't fall today, wake up again, fall today, wake up again. I don't lose my salvation, gain it, lose it, gain it, lose it, gain it. No. I gained my salvation and I have it forever. As long as I believe in Jesus Christ. Praise be to God. We have great power for our benefit, and that power has no match. It is the same power that God used to raise Jesus Christ from the dead. It is God's greatest power, and it is towards us. What does that mean? It is for our benefit. What are we doing with that information? Are we spending time digging there to understand, to have a revelation of this truth? Because that's what we're here for. That's what we should be doing. Dig into the truth. And we are seated in heaven with Christ. Think about this. We are seated in heaven with Christ. We look at ourselves. We see ourselves limited as living on this earth. And that's it. That's who we are. That's where we are. The word says we are seated with Christ in heaven. Won't that make you start acting differently if you get that revelation? Because all of a sudden, when the devil comes to you, it's not about who you are in the natural. It's not about what you have done in the natural. It's about the fact that you're seated in the heavenly places with Jesus Christ. And the Bible says he is the head of all principality, and the devil is under his feet. So the devil is under you.
Hallelujah.
Then you act differently. When you speak to the devil, when you give a command now, you give it with a different attitude. That says, I know who I am. So you listen to me. I don't listen to you, Satan. You listen to me. Praise be to God. The devil cannot withstand the power that we have. This power, when Jesus was in the grave, overtook Satan, and he took the keys from the devil. So the devil cannot withstand this power. There is no way. You and I, we just have to know this. And as we get to know this and we start practicing this, you'll remember last time when we spoke about this, the fact that practice your authority. Practice your authority. In other words, use it like a doctor practices his qualification as a medical doctor. Practice your authority. Put it into practice. And as you practice it, the devil will flee. The Bible clearly says, submit yourself to the Lord and resist the devil. Resist. There's an element of resisting. So he comes against you. He says, resist him.
Amen.
And as you resist him, he will flee from you. The only thing that we need is the revelation of this power. And that is the reason why we spend time praying and asking God for the spirit of wisdom and revelation, like Paul prayed for us. And that's the reason why we meditate on the word. We saw that when we looked at Joshua. And we must connect these things. Connect this with the message that we have on Facebook right now. It's all about change is possible. And we're looking at the fact that before the change happens on the outside, that change has to start from within, from the inside. When you start seeing yourself the way God sees you, your life is going to change. In conclusion of our revision, Galatians chapter 4 verse 1, it says, think of it this way. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Think of it this way. If a father dies and leaves an inheritance for his young children, those children are not much better off than slaves until they grow up. Even though they actually own everything their father had, if they do not grow up, they will never be better than slaves. If we do not grow up in our knowledge of who we are in Christ, we will never be better than slaves. We will live as mere men. It's all about us understanding who we are in Christ. We said it last week, don't come to church for any other reason other than to come and get the word so that you renew your mind to understand who you are. Renew your mind to who you are in the spirit. That's what this is all about. Praise the Lord. I would like us to have Holy Communion today. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This is a practice that we have as the body of Christ to anchor our faith. We are talking about the finished work of Jesus Christ. We are saying because of the finished work of Jesus Christ, we have access to everything that the Father has given to us. How did we get to that finished work of Jesus Christ? We got to that work through Jesus Christ dying for us. Because we were sinners, we deserved death. We deserved hell, eternally, forever, in separation from God. Oh, that is bad. Tormented. It's the lake of fire. That is what we deserved. Because we could not live up to God's standards. Then God said, I'll show you how much I love you. While we were still sinners, then he sent Jesus Christ to come and die in our place. While we were still sinners. Let's go to Isaiah 53. Verse 4 says, for he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Ah. And then the chastisement for our peace, for us to have peace, we were supposed to be chastised. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we were healed. That's Isaiah 53. Okay? So Jesus Christ died in our place. He died for our transgressions. He died for all our iniquities. He died for all those things, all those things. And then Isaiah 54 continues now. Let's check Isaiah 54, verses 9 and 10. It says, "For this is like the waters of Noah to me." Okay, "For as I have sown, that the waters of Noah would no longer cover the earth." God made an oath. You saw. Okay, it says, "As I have sown, that the waters of Noah would no longer cover the earth, so have I sown, that I would not be angry with you." Is this in the Bible? "So I have sown, that I would not be angry with you, nor rebuke you." And then it continues, verse 10, it says, "For the mountains shall depart and hills be removed, but my kindness towards you, my kindness towards you shall not depart, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has mercy on you." What do we mean when we're talking about the mercy of God? We're talking about us being treated better than we deserve to be treated. Mercy. In other words, we deserve to be punished, but God treats us with kindness. So he says his mercy. He has mercy on us. But that happened when Jesus Christ died for us. Now I want you that as you participate here, understand that this action that we are doing here, it speaks God's kindness towards you. God will treat you with kindness. He will never be angry at you. He will never rebuke you. Don't think that I'm being rebuked by the Lord. He will never rebuke you. The devil, the accuser of the brethren, will come and tell you that God is angry at you and God is rebuking you for what you did. No. God does not rebuke you. The Bible says the Holy Spirit, in John chapter 16, the Holy Spirit comes and convicts you of your righteousness in Christ. So God does not remind you of your sins, because all of your sins were taken care of by Jesus Christ. So then the Holy Spirit reminds you of your righteousness in Christ, that you are righteous. You are better than what you did there. So draw from who you are. Don't wallow in the wrong that you did. Don't dwell on that. Don't dwell on it. You messed up. That's it. It's gone. But if you now spend time thinking about that, you'll fall again. You'll fall into the same thing again. Understand that you're better than that thing. You are the righteousness of God. Don't live in guilt and shame. Guilt and shame comes from the devil. Refuse to live in guilt and shame. Refuse. And then when you refuse to live in guilt and shame, all of a sudden you'll find strength to say no to what is wrong, because you've realized who you are.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. So now we are remembering what Christ did for us as we partake of these emblems. So keep that in mind. The Bible says this bread represents the body of Christ. This cup represents the cup of the covenant that God the Father and Jesus Christ came into, from which we have all these benefits that we get. So remember then the finished work of Jesus Christ. So now the Bible says, "By his stripes you were healed." Receive your healing when you partake of this. Receive your healing. Practice your benefit. Practice your right. Receive your healing. You don't have to fight for it. Receive it. In Jesus' name, it's yours. Take it. Take it. By when, as you take this, take it. That's perfect. Praise the Lord. So let's partake of the bread first. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name, for the body of Christ that was broken for us. As we partake of this body, Father, we receive our healing. We receive our deliverance. Thank you, Father God, that in Jesus' mighty name, old life has been taken out of our lives. We now have a new life, and we are holy without blame before you, Father. We thank you for that. In Jesus' mighty name, we give you praise, Father. And let's partake. And the Bible says, the night that Jesus Christ was to be betrayed, after he had broken the bread, after he had given to eat to them, he said, this is my body, broken for you. Broken for you. Your body was supposed to be broken like that. So your body now does not need to be broken anymore. And then the Bible says, then he took the cup and said, this is the cup of the new covenant. That sets you free of all the wrongs. That removes all the cases from your life. All the cases from your life. That then sets you in the place where before God you are accepted as the beloved child of God. And therefore it gives you rights to everything that you can find in the Word of God. You are a child of God. You are an heir already. The only thing that is left is to renew your mind. Just renew your mind to the truth. And as you renew your mind to the truth, you will see. You will grow from glory to glory. Your life will change. Peace will start flooding your heart. God is no longer angry at me. You'll start having peace. And then as you start having peace, you'll see you'll find it easy to approach God and speak to him as your Father. You'll find it easy to have fellowship with your Father. Spending time in prayer now is no longer going to be work to produce what you want. It's now going to be a time of communion with my Father, the lover of my soul. Because now you understand that Jesus Christ took care of all of your sins. So now let's receive all the blessings that are given to us by the cup of the covenant. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, this morning, Father, we receive everything that you prepared for us in Christ. Father, we receive everything in Jesus' name. We receive, Father God, revelation of who we are. We receive, Father, life, fruitful lives in the Spirit, Father. We receive, Father God, our health. Because Jesus Christ was beaten so that by his stripes we would be healed. Father, we receive that Jesus Christ came, he became poor for us so that we would be rich. Father, we thank you that your word says that. So, Father, we receive wisdom and revelation for us to be able to flow in this truth so that we will prosper. We receive that we prosper, Father God. We receive that we have everything that you've given to us. We receive that, Father God, we have our needs met at all times, Father, and having more for us to be able to be a blessing to other people, Father. We receive, Father God, life. Life above circumstances on earth. Life above what people who do not know you deal with, Father. We receive life. There is an example of what you have purchased for us through Christ, Father. Father, we receive fruitful lives in the name of Jesus Christ. As we enter into this covenant, we take it, Father, in Jesus' name. Let us partake of the cup of the covenant. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Now, this should anchor your soul now. So in your mind, then now you need to know that I am not judged before God. I am not judged. Before God, I receive everything that the Father has given to me. Absolutely everything. I will not be without what God wants me to have. So, have your mind anchored on the truth. And then walk with God. Fellowship with God. This week, fellowship with God. Spend time with God. Loving on Him. Enjoying the relationship with Him. Don't try to please Him. Don't spend time with Him to please Him. You don't have a debt you owe. I've seen on Facebook, some people they put things at times where they say, we have to pay our dues to God. And one of them is time with Him. You don't have a debt with God. You don't owe God anything.
Amen.
So when you go to Him, you are spending time with your loving Father.
Amen.
So enjoy fellowship with Him. And if you've missed your time, say, Father, I missed our time yesterday. Thank you, Father, that I can be your presence this morning. And then you spend time with Him. Forget about the missed time. Forget about the missed time. Forget about that. Just focus on the now. The time that you have with your Father. And enjoy it. And know that He's not finding fault at you. He's not saying, No. Just enjoy the time with Him. Hallelujah. I hope, Bazalane, you have been exhorted by these words this morning. It's about the Word of God. As it comes to us, being fresh, being what God wants to say to us. This is the second time we missed to start on chapter 2 of Ephesians. But I believe God is just telling us that we are on the right path here. Let's stick with it. We are on the right path here. Praise the Lord.